access number 29536, Mr. Bert Scriven, reel 14. Yeah, I mean, were you at Anzio, or is that just you misremembering?
Oh, we went to Anzio, yes.
Anzio's a beach landing.
And yeah, we didn't do that.
You certainly didn't do the Adriatic before you, the Adriatic side before that. You don't move over there until 44.
Well, that's what I thought. No, we were just slogging up the Apennines, really.
But they didn't move from November till June.
No, we seemed to just move from here to there and there to here. The people who know least about it are the people who are at the bottom end, as it were.
So what's the next thing you remember then?
But the next thing I remember is Point Lanzio. Now, the Italians had, the Americans, beg your pardon, had invaded Anzio, and they'd come to a standstill, and they were losing a lot of troops. And we were sent to relieve them, which...
What do you remember of that?
The journey there, which we did by ship, don't remember. Really, it's just another one of those things. But when we arrived, we went northwards, our battalion went northwards along the coast, where there were pine woods running along the coast. And we settled down there as B echelon and dug in.
And this is north of Anzio.
Yeah, North Anzio, on the Rome side. Not far north, but north. we were on the main road, or alongside the main road to Rome. The reports came in, we dug in. The infantry went off to take their positions, wherever. And the reports came in on night one, we lost a company, which is 120 men. When I say loss, I mean literally that. We don't know whether they were killed, captured, what. But we hadn't got it anymore.
Which company was it, do you remember?
I think it was Y Company. I'm not too sure. Second night, we seemed to have lost another company. Now, we had gone ashore over strength. In fact, we had, instead of five companies, we had six. There was a support company. Our support company was sent off, of course, to take Y Company's place. Second night, we lost another company. And the third night, we lost a third. Which meant we were very depleted then.
And what were you doing during those nights?
Those nights, I was checking out where I could, where we were, to start with, making sure that my lorries were loaded and so on. And I realised that it would be all night work for us to supply ammunition, and we were going to be, for once, fairly static. So it would be likely that I would go to the same point night after night, which meant it would be always in the dark. So I had to devise a method to load the lorries so that in the dark I would always know where everything was by walking across the top. No canopies, just a 3-ton open lorry. And if you walked across the top, of course, all ammunition is in different size, shape, coloured boxes. Metal, wood, whatever. And I devised a method of loading all lorries identically so that as one walked from the toe to the front, which is the natural order of things, one would know what ammunition was underneath your feet or immediately around. And from the feel of the lorries, of the boxes, one could identify them as well. So I made sure that we were over strength on the ammunition we were allowed, officially allowed, that is, and loaded all three lorries identically. And then made sure that the drivers knew the plan and how they were, so they also could find whatever was required. In short, if somebody came to the lorry and said they wanted a couple of boxes of this, that, or the other, we knew we could be up on the lorry, knew where to pick it up and put it over the side. That was the starter. If that would normally be at battalion headquarters. If people couldn't get to battalion headquarters, then it was my job to get a lorry or some other transport which would be loaded and taken to company headquarters. If it was required still further forward, it was up to me to get fatigue parties or take them with me or whatever, and take them as far forward as was necessary. And forward does not necessarily mean going in one direction, because people were scattered all over the terrain in slit trenches. So you had to find your way forward and get what was required to them. Then get back to your lorry, and from there back to B echelon, and that all had to be done between dusk and first light. They had to be back in B echelon by first light, otherwise you're under fire. Also, I had to recce a number of routes to get to wherever the battalion headquarters would be, because one could not use the same route twice. Certainly not in succession. You use it twice over a period of time. But this was the first time we'd become static. Before, we'd always been on the move forward, but now we'd become static. And so the routine then became start at last light, and a route I had recced during the early part of the day. I get in the first lorry, and I determine how many lorries I take with me. I take the first lorry and the route I'd chosen that day. There's always one point, of course, where inevitably one had to use only one route, because it was the only route there. Right to the very end, you know, there's only one way to get to where you're going. But up till then, I could choose routes cross-country by various roads and so on. We then deliver, hopefully just going to battalion headquarters. Assemble the lorries again, however many I'd taken, and we drive back using the same route to get back. Arrive before first light. Usually I try and get a cup of tea or eat. Then, if possible, an hour sleep. Then rearrange the lorries until I'd just got one that was deficient. Take that back to the base ammunition dump in Anzio. Oh, good. The base ammunition dump in Anzio. Pick up all the ammunition I required, take it back to the echelon, reassemble the loads until they were ready, try and get a little more sleep if possible, then using motorbike mainly, sometimes a jeep, and such maps as we had, or our own observations, I would try and find a new route for that night. Then go back, eat and sleep until it was time to move again. Nobody directed me, I just did this. It was matter of course, and day after day was the same routine, exactly the same routine. We were bombed, both at the echelon and, of course, delivering. I was shelled by our own navy on one occasion going forward. That was terrifying. Well, we were going on the forward side of a hill, just open ground, nothing else, just open ground. Two of us in convoy, and suddenly we saw explosions ahead of us. And I had to work, we had to try and work out where the hell it was coming from. Was Jerry sending it from in front of us? And then we suddenly realized, to our horror, it was the Navy in the sea outside Anzio somewhere. They were either firing short or they're after us. I didn't know. So I just shouted bail out and we stopped. And I headed off left and dropped to the ground and got myself into what I thought was a ditch. Certainly I could see the sides of what I was in above me, or so it seemed, and flattened myself and waited till it stopped. Didn't make me very happy that it was our own forces doing it. And there is no way I could stop it. However, it did stop. And we got back in there and completed our journey, did our night's work, came back. But I was curious because I couldn't remember ditches on that bit of ground. So that afternoon, after I got everything straightened out, I took a motorbike and I went up there. And I was right, there weren't any ditches in that ground. In fact, there weren't even any furrows or folds in the ground as far as I could see. So how flat I'd got, I'm not quite sure, but it was very, very flat. It's strange, that.
What was the German bombing like? What do you recall of that?
They used a lot of anti-personnel bombs, crackerjacks we call them, that or jumping jacks. They used to burst high, drop a number of bomblets, if you like, smaller bombs, which hit the ground and seemingly sprung up again and then exploded with shrapnel. Now, I was on a lorry in the open on the front edge of a wood where battalion headquarters was. At one time when we were being bombed with those, and I just stood there and I looked. I didn't even realise we were being bombed. I just said, God, look at that, aren't they pretty? And they're exploding, you know. rather like Roman candle sort of things. And then I realised exactly what it was and bailed out of the lorry in a great hurry and flattened myself. But that's the kind of peculiar reaction one has to these kind of things. It's not what you expect. But later on, we'd done a delivery. I'd got some ammunition aboard. And I'd sent the others off back, and I was clearing up, working out what I wanted and so on. And we were going along this front edge of the wood, and battalion headquarters was in the wood itself. And suddenly I was aware that we were being strafed by something. Hopefully not the Minenwerfer, nine-barreled mortars, we called them. But it's no knowing. You've got stuff landing around you, it's just as likely. And I said to driver, bail out. So he did. Ran round to my side, which was where the wood was. We were heading across the front of the wood, and it was on our left as we went. I bailed out, and the pair of us headed into the woods as fast as we could. In between us, the woods and ourselves, there was a jeep with loaded up and so on. Just there. I presume somebody in battalion headquarters had just left it there and gone into battalion headquarters, which was in the wood itself. I don't remember going round it, and I don't remember going under it. So I presume I must have gone over the top. But I don't know how the hell I jumped that high. Anyway, I was beyond it, and we went into the wood. Didn't get as far as battalion headquarters, just went a little way into the wood. Found a bank that, a small one, that was, the rear side of it was to the wood, the forward side was German line, and we laid on the rear side of that. Now I have to tell you that, to make any sense of it, that when I was at ANZO in particular, I always wore the same dress. I didn't wear webbing and equipment as such. I carried a Tommy gun. The gun was slung on my right shoulder, gun forward on the front, and the sling up the back. Tilted slightly, not perpendicular with the muzzle right down, but tilted upwards to a degree. No butt on it. So that if I dropped my hand, it would hit the pistol grip and immediately swing up into firing position, the hip position. I wore gum boots and a dispatch rider's coat, which was waterproof, double flapped, double belted, with the belly flap that went up underneath if you required it. In my patch pockets, in the front of the coat, I carried straight Tommy gun magazines, 3-4 in each pocket, and attached to the double belt in the front, hanging by the levers, I had usually 4 or 6 36 grenades, so that what was likely to happen to us was that en route we would be ambushed. So when I was in the lorry, the Tommy gun was on my lap, so that immediately one could either toss a grenade out or fire straight through the side window, windscreen or whatever with a Tommy gun.
Now you'd been what were you being shelled by when you were taking cover from? What didn't you know?
Didn't know. It was probably a mortar. They had a nasty one that used to fire a group of bombs. We always said it was a nine-barreled one. Whether it was or not, I don't know. Minenwerfer.
Right.
At least that's what we called them. Anyway, we were laying there waiting for them to stop. And suddenly I got a thump on my left leg as we were laying on this slope mound. And I thought, oh, I'd been hit. And I'd always read and I'd been told that when you're hit, it doesn't hurt to start with. You just feel a bang, you know, thump. So I thought, oh, God, I've been hitting the left leg. So very slowly, I put my left hand down inside my gum boot, and it was wet. I thought, that's it. I've got hit. Damn, it's going to be tricky. Doesn't hurt. Oh, good. I wonder when it will. And then the driver, who was alongside me, said, sorry, mate. I said, for what? And he said, well, I just kicked you, didn't I? So I said, did you? He said, yeah. Oh, good. So then I realised that what had happened, I was actually laying in a puddle, and he had kicked me, and the water had gone inside my gumboot and wet my legs and trousers, and I wasn't touched at all. However, when it calmed down, we went back to our lorry to find the engine still running. Doors wide open, our seats shredded with shrapnel. Underneath was all pitted with holes, and the sides, and four flat tyres. So
this was a Jeep?
No, this was a 3-ton lorry.
It was a lorry, right.
Yeah, 3-ton lorry. The Jeep was between the lorry and the wood.
Of course it was, sorry. Yeah.
So I said to the driver, well, can we drive it? He said, well, yeah. He said, all four flat tyres are flat. He said, but I don't know how we get on. I said, well, if we're in the field, it don't matter at the moment. He said, yeah, but we got to go onto the road. After the field was the road, which led backwards, main access road. So I said, well, we'll have to try it. So we went forward rather like a crab. Till we got onto the road. Then it became tricky, because there was a whole convoy of vehicles lined up nose to tail right the way along this damn road. They were facing forward, and we wanted to go backwards. And because we were travelling sort of sideways, sort of, I think we hit every damn lorry two or three times, making one hell of a racket, holding our breath that Jerry's didn't hear it or identify it and shell us to blazes, which was what we expected. And we went down this convoy, and the drivers were there, and there were some troops aboard as well. Their remarks were not nice, either the drivers or the troops, because they realised the state, you know, the noise we were making and so on. We had no options. And we went back to an area that was reasonably safe. Drove onto the ground there, and stopped and had a good look at the lorry. And the driver said, well, we can't take this any further. I said, nope. I said, are the other two blokes around? We should have met them there, but we'd been such a long time, they probably had taken off. I said, if you can find a lift, I said, go back. I said, just you go back, get some sleep and such. I've just seen the quartermaster's Jeep pass over there. And in view of the fact that we've just been strafed to hell, I wonder if he's all right. I'll wait for him and he can drive me back. So I hung around there until he did arrive about half hour later, I suppose. And he naturally said, what the hell are you doing here? And I said, oh, I just wondered if you were all right. I said, we've just lost one of our vehicles. And he had a look at it. And he said, oh, that's gone. We'll have to get another one. How about the doings? I said, oh, I'll send a fatigue party out to transfer and a new lorry. And that's how that little episode ended. And we stayed there a month, just about a calendar month, as near as I can tell. And I've since...
That was, what, January to February?
January, February. By this time, we got to a state where those in the rearmost people were asked, can you drive? And I naturally said, well, yes, I can, of course. And I said, right, that's all right then. He said, all non-drivers are going up forward. We haven't got the men to spare to use them as drivers anymore. We need every man we can get. And I don't know how accurate I am, but to my knowledge, we went in. A battalion strength is just under 1,000, but I think we went in about 1,200, something like that, maybe a little more. From what I observed, and I'm not too sure about this, I think we had reinforcements to about 1,500 during that month. We kept seeing batches coming in and sending them on. We were then pulled out and sent back to the Naples area, and there were 200 of us left. Strange, because when we went back, Vesuvius had just erupted.
So you think you came out back to the Naples area?
We went back to the Naples area.
And when? Then, February?
End of February, yes.
Well, we'll check that, because I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Yes, that's to the best of my knowledge, the end of February.
And what state were you in? You know, how was your morale, if you see what I mean?
I was all right. Oh, there is something that I can tell you about. After I'd done one of my trips, I constructed a foxhole. What I dug was done is dug a hole at the base of a pine tree in between the roots, put a couple of wooden tabletops across it to make a roof, earth on the top, and a little hole where I could creep down and get into me hole, and providing the tree didn't come down, I was reasonably safe. Something we learned from the Americans. But having, one day, having done my job, the quartermaster said, we've got some film blokes, reporters coming round. Want to see what war's like. Can you put on a show or something for them? I said, well, what do we want? He said, well, see, do something with the ammunition or something or other. So, So, I was pretty brassed off by then. So I went over to the lorries and I got several boxes of grenades out. Opened two or three of them. Laid them out on top of my foxhole, sat in the entrance of the foxhole with my legs dangling in it, with a cigarette on. And when they came over, I was busy priming grenades, which they didn't like very much, I think. And they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm priming grenades, of course. And I was cheesed off enough to handle them pretty carelessly, because when you're priming grenades you can easily lose a hand. And once they were primed and made safe again, screwed the plug in, I toss them back into the box rather than place them. Quite safe really, but it looks hairy. I've never seen people retreat so fast in all my life. they were a long way away from me by the time I'd done a couple. So I repacked the grenades and put them back on the lorries again and then went off to sleep. That's the only time we ever saw reporters, to be honest.
Were they reporters or film crew?
Well, I don't know. I didn't see any cameras as such. They might have had handheld ones. They were, Lord knows what they were. Film crew, maybe. But I've never heard anybody had ever seen
it.
Hmm?
It was just a visit by reporters.
Yeah.